Shalom, Berachot, many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamliel of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and RUC, or Audio Visual Lending Library. Welcome. Thank you for joining with me. Our Divrei Torah Parshat for Parshat Teruma is entitled, Hasten to Do Good. And our Divrei Torah Parshat is in the loving memory of Mr. Yochanan Bond, Mr. Robert Dietrich, Mr. Jimmy Reeves, Mr. Jim Wilson, and Mr. Tim Cox. May they rest in peace. Dear ones, when we look into the second book of Moshe, Sefer Shemot, the book of Exodus, we're in Parshat Teruma. Parshat Teruma begins in Exodus Kuf Hei Pasuk Aleph, chapter 25, verse 1, and it goes all the way to Kuf Zion Yud Tet, that's chapter 27, verse 19. Now, in looking at our discussion, hasten to do good, there's one word that stands out, and of course that's the word that this parshat is named after, Teruma. So as we begin our examination, we see that the Torah says, Yadaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Now, that means, and Hashem spoke to Moses saying, to Moshe saying. Please remember that when we're looking at the notes on this Divrei Torah Parshat, that it has the holy name of God in it, so please be very careful with them. Then we see the continuation, Daber el B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael, V'yikhu li Teruma. And have them take for me a teruma offering from every man. Me'et kol ish asher yidbeinu lebo. From every man whose heart impels him to be generous, to generosity. Tikhu et teruma. You shall take everything from Aleph to Tav of my teruma offering. So we have the foundation for our discussion here in the word teruma. And the gematria of the word teruma is 651. And if you look at the notes, you'll see under Exodus 25:2 that we have Tav, Resh, Vav, Mem, He in red. And the Tav is 400, the Resh is 200, the Vav is 6, the Mem is 40, and the He is 5. That's 651. And so when we're thinking of teruma, we're taking an offering. But the thought here is not just taking an offering. The thought here is the generosity to which the offering is given. The compelling way in which we give the offering. And so this is a reflection back to the Divrei Torah Lamud for Bereshit Kuf Bet, chapter 22 of Genesis, where we see that God tested Abraham. And where we talked about that God only tests the righteous. And we looked at the example of Abraham, how whenever God told him to do something, go get out of this land, get away from your land, your relatives, your father's house, how Abraham responded and how he did what God asked him to do. Well, here we see B'nai Yisrael, and we see that B'nai Yisrael responds in a very positive way. If we read a little bit further on in HaTorah, we find that Moshe actually had to tell B'nai Yisrael to stop giving because they were giving so much, they had more than enough. And that tells us that there was an overflowing of generosity. Now, if you think back over the years of associations with other religions, that one would say, hey, stop giving all this silvers. Stop giving all this gold, all these fine linens. We have more money than we know what to do with. We have no place to put all this extra money. We're just overflowing with money right now. Don't bring any more. Well, in fact, we know that that's normally not the case. we know that in most instances, it's actually quite often just the opposite. We see all these different religions making appeals for money and trying to get more money to do their projects that they have, etc. But here, we have a uniqueness in B'nai Yisrael. An incredible, beautiful, wonderful uniqueness in B'nai Yisrael. And that was that when it was time to build the Mishkan in the wilderness, when it was time to step up to the plate and to give generously, B'nai Yisrael did just that. They had an outpouring. B'nai Yisrael had an outpouring of love and generosity, of gold and silver and linens and fine things. And there was so much given, they just couldn't take any more. They had more than enough to complete the task that was in front of them. And so when we think about the Mishkan, and we think about the purpose for the Mishkan, the holy temple in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the wilderness, isn't it wonderful just to stop for a minute and to consider that here, this man of God, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, he did what God told him to do. He made this request, and all of B'nai Yisrael responded. Everybody participated. They got involved. And they got involved in a really big way. And so here it just tells us how much B'nai Yisrael wanted to have God in their presence. It tells us how much B'nai Yisrael wanted to have a beautiful Mishkan, something that would be for God, something that they would be happy to provide the creator of the universe with. And so they got involved. And that's just the most unique situation. I mean, if you just think about all the times that you've heard appeals for money and the times that people have needed money and all the different charities and the different organizations appealing for money. But here in the Midbar, in the middle of the wilderness, with a Jewish people that had been delivered from slavery, Moshe Rabbeinu makes this appeal, and everybody has a generous heart, just an incredibly generous heart to give until there was so much, it was overflowing. So we see that this was the attitude of righteousness. This was the attitude of doing the right deed. And this was the attitude of getting it done. Let's not hold out here. Let's not wait. Let's not be the last to contribute. Let's not see if our neighbor's going to be the one to contribute. Let's not see how much they contribute. Let's just get involved and let's get it done. And this is the attitude that we see among B'nai Yisrael. Now, when we look at this word, terumah, we know that terumah means offering. And we know that it's a gift. It's an offering that we give. And we know that our sages have ruled that we should not give or pay ma'asar, tithe. Tithe ma'asar means a tenth. That we should not pay more than 20% of all that we earn. That we should not pay more than 20% of our time. And so I know a lot of times when the teachers and when the classmates and students of B'nai Yisrael hear Dr. Kiva Gamlil talking about giving 20%, that there's got to be some emotion there. Dr. Kiva Gamlil, you're talking about giving 20%? My goodness, I mean, you think about the times we're living in. Our stock market has gone down almost 50%, God forbid. The banks around us are crumbling, God forbid. Can't get a loan to buy a car. Can't get a loan to get a house. And you're saying, hey, don't give more than 20%? Are we in the same country? Are we in the same world? Are we facing the same situations? You see, dear ones, it's interesting. In Judaism and in spirituality, instead of trying to just hammer on people to give money, we place limits. We say, yo, you can't do more than that. That's the maximum that you can do. Why? Because, you see, within HaTorah, we have a living, very vibrant word from Hashem. And every year we come back to the same place of terumah. And every year we talk about the offering that B'nai Yisrael gave. And every year reminded that it was given out of generosity of their heart. And that their heart impelled them. That their heart was charged. That the heart was supercharged to give. And so we say, oh, hold off now. Don't give more than 20%. And so you see, it's all part of the attitude. I'm not saying it's only attitude, but it's a very big part of attitude. So when we think in terms of Abraham, as we did in the discussion, the Lamud, God tested Abraham. Can we see the difference between Abraham and between ourselves? You see, Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had. And there was nothing held back. He caught everything up, a tenth of everything that he had. And he wasn't about to be rewarded for his success against those five kings there in Genesis chapter 14. He was going to give because he wanted to give. And he wanted to give from all that he had. This is the heritage that we come from among B'nai Yisrael. That we have our father Abraham Avinu, who taught his children, I'm going to give a tenth of everything I have. I am not holding back. And then we see here in the Bamidbar and Sefer Bereishit that we have B'nai Yisrael giving more than enough to build the holy Mishkan that would proceed with them over the next 39 years. It's incredible. And so we come down to 57:69. What has happened? What has happened to us? Oh my, how have we changed? I mean, the Torah is the same. The righteousness of Abraham isn't changed. The righteousness of B'nai Yisrael and the Bamidbar hasn't changed. No, it's us. It's us that have changed. It's us that have looked at things differently. And so we recognize when we're talking about levels of righteousness, if we have the financial means, and of course I've gone over and many times in the past what we define as the financial means, you know, the ability to buy new clothing and to pay for it, the ability to buy food and not to be hungry, the ability to own your home, the ability to drive a nice car, the ability to go out and eat if one wants to eat. If one has the prosperity, one has the options of owning things beyond what might be required. One has their needs met and then has financial flexibility to do things beyond their financial means. And in those cases, certainly, one should pay ma'asar. And one could even pay more than ma'asar. They could pay a 20th. You say, Dr. Akiva Gamliel, I thought we went over this already. Well, dear ones, the whole point is we're just trying to say, hey, this is when you should give ma'asar. You should give ma'asar of your time, pay ma'asar of your time, and that you have the option of doing more if you choose to do more. And that's where the level of righteousnesses come in. If we're feeling tight-fisted, if we're feeling stingy, then we're certainly not on the level of righteousness that B'nai Yisrael was on here in Sefer Shemot. We're certainly not on the level of righteousness that Abraham Avinu was in Bereishit chapter 14. And so we can see by our own actions where we're at in our level of righteousness. You know, money is very close to most of us. We have to have it to get by in this world, and we need it to acquire things, and we need it to be able to accomplish tasks that lie in front of us. But how much do we need? How much do we need to do that? And then are all the tasks that we're involved with, are they really righteous tasks? Are they good tasks? Are they things that we should be involved with? So we look at the ma'asar. Now, when we look at this word teruma, the gematria is 651. And if we were to go over to Bereishit chapter Kuf Dalad, that's Perek Kuf Dalad, we would see there in verse 17, that Eliezer, who is a servant of Abraham, has made a request from Hashem. He has made a request to Hashem, and he says, "Please, when this girl comes to the well." Whoever you want to come to the well. We're looking at verse 14. Maybe we'll even back up a little bit. He said, Hashem, God of my master, Abraham, be present before me today and act kindly with your with my master Avraham, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the townsmen are coming out to draw water. Let it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please tip over your pitcher that I may drink,' that she will say, 'Drink, and I'll also water your camels,' will be the one whom you have determined for your servant Yitzhak. With her I will know that you have dealt kindly with my master." And that finished speaking these words, and behold, Rivka came out, and she had been born to Bethuel, the son of Malkah, the wife of Nahor, Avraham's brother. Her pitcher was on her shoulder. The girl was very good-looking, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. Now here's Eliezer. Eliezer really wants for Yitzhak to marry his daughter. And so he's laying out a pretty, what we would think of as a challenging request. He looks at this young woman, and the Torah defines her as being a virgin. The Torah defines her as being good-looking. But the Torah doesn't tell us that she's 3 years old, but that's how old she is. And, of course, young people in those days were more physically developed and mentally developed, more mature. And so we see Rivka here, and we see the Torah describing Rivka. And so we recognize that this is the lady for Yitzhak, Avraham's son. Nothing too good can be for Avraham's son. Avraham's a righteous man, and his son is a righteous man. And so nothing can be too good for this righteous man. And so we see Eliezer. He's putting on some pretty, what I would call, challenging conditions here. And of course, we talk about this in Focalizing on Torah in that CD. But here he says, you know, "These are the things I'd like you to do for me, Hashem. I'd like you to do this for me." And so there's 10 thirsty camels sitting here. They look very thirsty. And you know, if you're a desert tribesman and you come across a desert and your camels haven't had anything to drink for a very long time, and then you have not only Eliezer there, but you have his servants there. And so they're standing there. And then you'd think, well, you know, why is this man and his servants standing there? Why are their camels not being watered? What's going on here? I mean, it would seem to me like the first thing you would do when you would arrive, you'd go over and you'd tell your servants, "Okay, let's get some water. Let's the camels have some water here." But we don't see this going on. We see a very firm, a very challenging test put to the person that would be Yitzhak's wife. And so the servant ran towards her and said, "Please let me sip a little drink from your pitcher." And then we see that Rivka said, "Vatomer Shate Adona." She said, "Drink, my master." And then notice this next word, Vata Meher. And she quickly, she hastened, Vitored Kada Al Yada, to let down her hand with the pitcher. And then she gave him to drink. So we look at this word, Vata Meher. And we see the Vav is 6, the Tav is 400, the Mem is 40, the Hey is 5, and the Resh is 651. But what's really interesting here, and there's always a lot of interesting things going on, but the letter Tav really isn't part of the Shurush. See, the root word is Mem, Hey, Resh, and that means to hasten, that means to be quick. And so this Tav was placed there. It was placed there to let us know, definitely this is a sign, because the Tav is always the letter of the sign, Ot, Aleph, Vav, Tav. This is the letter of the sign. And it's saying, mine here, examine here. Neon signs, whistles are going off. They're saying there's something going on here. There's something special going on here. Without that Tav, this would only be a gematria of 251. But with the Tav, it's a gematria of 651. And so that gives us a little symbol here. We see Rivka, here she is. She, the Torah doesn't say Rivka is looking at the servants there and wondering, well, why aren't you guys getting the water for these camels? It doesn't reflect that at all. It reflects the humility. It reflects that Rivka's self, her inner self, is in check. It's in the respectable place. She says to this older man, "My master." She addresses him with respect. She answers his request immediately. She hastens to lower down her water pitcher and give him a drink. And she says, on top of it, now even though all these servants are standing around, and she's not saying this, but this is what was happening, even though all these servants are standing around, even though all these camels look very thirsty, I'm going to go get water for your camels. I'm going to water them until they're thoroughly satisfied. And so you see, dear ones, when we talk about levels of righteousness, we see a young woman who's 3 years old. Look at that self-containment. Look at that young lady, Rivka. Look at the great righteousness that she had. Look at the humility that she possessed. Look at the quality of respect that she possessed. And then we look at ourselves. And we say to ourselves, where's our level of righteousness? Where's our level of righteousness? How do we treat other individuals? If we walk into situations and question, well, why can't someone else do this? Why aren't these people doing this? Why aren't those helping out? And you see, the whole thing is not about them. It's always really about us. God is looking at us to see what we're going to do. God is looking at us to see how we are challenged. Of course Rivka saw these other men standing around. Of course Rivka saw the thirsty camels. But you see, it was about Rivka. It was about the quality of the person that she was. It was about the righteousness of Rivka. Was it a test for Rivka? Oh, yes. It was definitely a test. Did she pass the test? Without a doubt, she passed the test. So, we see that when we're brought into circumstances, when we're brought into situations, and we can see that others should be involved, that others should be participating, that others should be helping, and they're not. They're just standing there. They're just watching. That's even though we want to motivate people, even though we want to encourage people to do the right thing, yet the real question is what am I going to do? We have a servant that has requested water. Am I going to give him water? We have camels that are thirsty. Am I going to go the next step and say, hey, let me take care of your camels until they're completely satisfied? And so we see this quality of righteousness in such a young woman, just 3 years of age. And then we recognize why it is that God tests the righteous. You see, it proves the great strength they have. It shows that they're exceptional individuals. And if we were to be tested in those ways, God help us, it's possible that we could crumble. It's possible that we could just be crushed because we're not on that level of Abraham. We're not on that level of Rivka. But it's a good goal for us to strive for. It's a good goal to look forward to. It's a good goal. It's not like, well, why aren't other people doing this at B'nai Noach Torah Institute? Or why aren't other people doing this for this charity? No, our goal is just between us and God. You know, like, okay, creator of the universe, what am I supposed to do? Where am I at in this part? I want to motivate others, but yet I want to make sure that I'm on track. I got to take care of me. I've got to deal with myself. And I want to motivate other people, but yet look at me. I've got to deal with myself. It's me that needs to do this. Sure, there's others that could do it, but I've got to be concerned about what I'm supposed to do. I've got to be concerned about where I'm supposed to be. I've got to be concerned about keeping myself in bounds. I've got to keep myself under control. I can't let myself look at what all the other people aren't doing. I've got to look at what I need to be doing. And so we see between B'nai Yisrael this beautiful example of rushing, hastening to provide for the Mishkan. And then we see among Rivka this beauty of her hastening to take care of the need of an older man that she didn't know who was a foreigner to her area. Dear ones, I pray that Hashem will bless us and help us. And I know that Hashem will bless us and help us. And I pray that we'll have willing and obedient hearts to do the things that we should do. And that we'll work on, God help us all, please, that we'll work on containing ourselves, making ourselves be correct, making ourselves do the things that we need to do, keeping ourselves in bounds and allowing our righteousness to grow. Thank you for joining with me. Shalom, shalom.